Welcome to Zichud HaSimanim, I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yuma, Daf Yud Tes. The first parak, Shiva's Yamim. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. Rav Papa said, Shtegel Shakus Hayul El Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol had two chambers, the Lishkas Bar Hedrin, where he stayed, and the Lishkas Beis Havtinas, where he went ahead to do the Chafina of the Ketores. Rav Papa didn't know which one was in the north and which one was in the south, and concludes that the Lishkas Bar Hedrin was in the south based on the following. If it was in the north, the Kohen Gadol, after waking up in the morning, would need to walk around the Azor to reach the mikveh in the south, since he's not allowed to enter the Azor before immersion. Secondly, it's forbidden to use the Azor as a shortcut. After his immersion, at the end of the day, he would have to walk around the Azor again to reach the Lishkas Bar Hedrin. Would we needlessly burden so much? Therefore, it's more reasonable that the Lishkas Bar Hedrin was in the south and the Lishkas Beis Havtinas was in the north. The Gemara rejects both Papa's proof, saying, we purposely burden him more than necessary, so that if he's a Tzaduki, he won't seek the position, and alternatively, even if he is not a Tzaduki, we burden him so that he shouldn't become haughty on account of his position. Point number two, the Gemara brings an incident of the Tzaduki Kohen Gadol that brought Ketores into the Kodesh Kodashim while it was burning on the coals. One version of the story is that Tzaduki, proud of his accomplishment, died a few days later and thrown into a trash heap, and worms crawled out of his nose. Another version relates that he was smitten on his way out of the Kodesh Kodashim while he was still in the Kodesh. Rabbi Chiya taught a brisa which states, "Kemin kol nishma ba'azor sheba malch v'chabat al pana." Some sort of sound was heard in the Azor, indicating that a malch had come and struck him on his face, and when the Kohanim went in to investigate, they found kakaf rego ego ben ksefav, a mark like the sole of a rounded foot between his shoulders. This is a sign that he was smitten by a malch, as it stated, "Raglem rego yishar b'kaf raglem kakaf rego ego." Their legs were a straight leg, and the sole of their feet was like a sole of a rounded foot. And point number three, was taught in the Braisa, "Bidibarta bum," and you should speak of them, referring to words of Torah. Bam yeshalcha rishus of the Braisa, you have permission to speak of Torah matters, v'lo b'dvar mecheri, but not of other matters. Rashi explains that this excludes worthless matters, such as the idle chatter of children, and calls Rosh, conversation involving levity. Rabbi Acha said the pasuk teaches, "Ase osam kefa, bal tasam arai," make Torah matters a fixture in your life, and do not make them a temporary occupation. Rava said, "Hasach sichus chulin over ba'ase." One who engages in trivial conversation transgresses a positive commandment, as the pasuk implies, "Bum v'lo b'dvar mecherim," of them, but not of other matters. So once again, the three points are: number one, Rav Papa said, "Shtelo shakos hayu al kohen gadol." The kohen gadol had two chambers: the Lishkas Bar Hedrin, where he stayed, and the Lishkas Beis Havtinas, where he went ahead to do Chafina of the Ketores. Rav Papa didn't know which one was in the north and which one was in the south, and concludes that the Lishkas Bar Hedrin was in the south based on the following. If it was in the north, the Kohen Gadol, after waking up in the morning, would need to walk around the Azor to reach the mikveh in the south, since he's not allowed to enter the Azor before immersion. And secondly, it's forbidden to use the Azor as a shortcut. After his immersion, at the end of the day, he would have to walk around the Azor again to reach the Lishkas Bar Hedrin. Mitarach matrachinu le'kuli hai, would we needlessly burden him so much? Therefore, it's more reasonable that the Lishkas Bar Hedrin was in the south and the Lishkas Beis Havtinas was in the north. The Gemara rejects Rav Papa's proof, saying, "Matrachinu le'tvei, we purposely burden him more than necessary, so that if he's a Tzaduki, he will not seek the position. Alternatively, even if he's not a Tzaduki, we burden him, shotazuch daitolav, so he shouldn't become haughty on account of his position." Point number two, the Gemara brings an incident of a Tzaduki Kohen Gadol that brought Ketores into the Kodesh Kodashim while it was burning on the coals. One version of the story has that Tzaduki, proud of his accomplishment, died a few days later and thrown into a trash heap, and worms crawled out of his nose. Another version relates that he was smitten on his way out of the Kodesh Kodashim while he was still in the Kodesh, for Rabbi Chiya taught a brisa which states, "Kemin kol nishma ba'azor sheba malch v'chabat al panav." Some sort of sound was heard in the Azor, indicating that a malch had come and struck him on his face, and when the Kohanim went to investigate, they found kakaf rego ego ben ksefav, a mark like the sole of a rounded foot between his shoulders. This is a sign that he was smitten by a malch, as it stated, "Raglem rego yishar b'kaf raglem kakaf rego ego." Their legs were a straight leg, and the sole of their feet was like a sole of a rounded foot. And point number three, was taught in a brisa, "Vidibarta bum," and you should speak of them, referring to words of Torah. Bam yeshalcha rishus ledaber, you have permission to speak of Torah matters, but not of other matters. Rashi explains that this excludes worthless matters, such as idle chatter of children, and kalos rosh, conversation involving levity. Riachis said the pasuk teaches, "Ase osam keva, val tasam arai," make Torah matters a fixture in your life, and do not make them a temporary occupation. Rava said, "Hasak sichos chulin over ba'ase," one who engages in trivial conversation transgresses a positive commandment, as the pasuk implies, "Bam v'lo b'dvar mecherim," of them, but not of other matters. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Yud Tes, and our standard simmon is a yacht. So here goes. The yacht passengers who sailed around the temple courtyard were so horrified when they saw a battered, dead Kohen Gadol dragged out that they made sure to only speak Torah the rest of the trip. Once again, in slow motion. The yacht passengers, yacht, that must mean one duff, yutes. The yacht passengers who sailed around the temple courtyard, which reminds where Papa said the Kohen Gadol had two chambers, the Lishkas Bar Hedrin, where he stayed, and the Lishkas Beis Avtinas, where he went ahead to do Chafina, the Ketores. Where Papa didn't know which one was in the north and which one was in the south, and concludes the Lishkas Bar Hedrin was in the south, because if it was in the north, it'd be a big tircha for the Kohen Gadol to walk around the Azor in the morning to go to the mikveh, and then do the same after his immersion at the end of the day. The Gemara rejects Rav Papa's proof, saying, we purposely burden more than necessary, so that if he's a tzaduki, he'll not seek the position. Alternatively, even if he's not a tzaduki, we burden him shel tazuk daitolav, so that he shouldn't become haughty on account of his position. So the yacht passengers who sailed around the temple courtyard were so horrified when they saw a battered, dead Kohen Gadol dragged out, which reminds us. The Gemara brings an incident of a tzaduki Kohen Gadol that brought Ketores into the Kodesh Kodashim while it was burning on the coals. One version of the story has this tzaduki, proud of his accomplishment, die a few days later and thrown into a trash heap, and worms crawled out of his nose. Another version relates that he was smitten on his way out of the Kodesh Kodashim while he was still in the Kodesh, for Bechiah Tatna Brisa, which states that some sort of sound was heard in the Azara, indicating that a malach had come and struck him on his face. And when the Kohanim went to investigate, they found a mark like the sole of a rounded foot between his shoulders, which is a sign he was smitten by a malach, since the sole of their feet are like the sole of a rounded foot. So the yacht passengers who sailed around the temple courtyard were so horrified when they saw a battered, dead Kohen Gadol dragged out that they made sure to only speak Torah the rest of the trip. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, "Bidibarta bam," and you should speak of them, referring to words of Torah, "Bam yeshachal rishos ledaber," you have permission to speak of Torah matters, but not of other matters. Rashi explains that this excludes worthless matters such as idle chatter of children and kalos rosh. Rabbi Yochanan said the pasuk says, "Aseh osan keva v'al tasim arai." Make Torah matters a fixture in your life and do not make them a temporary occupation. Rava said, "Hasach sichas chulin over ba'aseh." One engages in trivial conversation, transgresses a positive commandment, as the pasuk implies, "Bam v'lo b'dvar mecherim," of them, but not of other matters. So once again, the yacht passengers who sailed around the temple courtyard were so horrified when they saw a battered, dead Kohen Gadol dragged out that they made sure to only speak Torah the rest of the trip. All right, now it's time for four blot back Chazara. Daf Tezvav. So the Simra Daf Tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The Kohen who used a fruit bowl, that must be one Daf Tezvav. The Kohen who used a fruit bowl to administer dam of the Tamid on the Mizbeach and threw the blood in the northeast corner and then placed blood on the western wall and then the southern wall like a chattas, which reminds Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, changes the procedure of the Tamid and says that after the Kohen throws the blood on the northeast corner, instead of then throwing it on the southwest corner, he comes to the southwest corner, he places the blood on the western wall of the Mizbech, and then, after rounding the corner, he places the blood on the southern wall. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah requires two distinct applications of the blood, unlike any other Ola. And Rabbi Yochanan answers in the name of one of the members of Rabbi Yana's yeshiva that says in the Pasuk, in connection with the additional Karbanos brought on Rosh Chodesh, Usir Izim Echor Chatas Hashem al Olas HaTamid Yaseh Nevisko, and one he-goat for a Chatas to Hashem, in addition to the Olas HaTamid, shall be made, and its wine libation. Now the Tamid is an Ola, yet in this Pasuk, the Torah states that the Kohen shall perform the procedure of a Chatas in connection with it. So how is this done? He performs one application, that's tantamount to two, by dashing the blood on the northeast corner, like an Ola, and then does separate applications on the southwest corner, like a Chatas. So the Kohen used a fruit bowl to administer dam of the Tamid on the Mizbeach, threw the blood in the northeast corner, and then placed blood on the western wall, and then the southern wall, like a Chatas, making sure to do them both on the lower half, which reminds the Gemara questions Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah's interpretation of the Zrikas Adam procedure for the Tamid. Let the Kohen place the first blood application, which is Achashi Hishtaim, one that is tantamount to two, below in the lower half of the Mizbech, Kamaisa Ola, in the manner prescribed for an Ola, and then place the next application, which is Shtaim Shen Shtaim, two that are in fact two, above on the upper part of the Mizbech, Kamaisa Chattas, in the manner prescribed for a Chattas. Why place the latter applications, which are supposed to resemble those of a Chattas, on the lower half of the Mizbech, in a manner inconsistent with the procedure of a Chattas? The Gemara answers, L'matzimu Dami Shechetzim L'mal V'chetzim L'mata. We don't find anywhere blood applications of which half are placed above and half are placed below. So the Kohen used a fruit bowl to administer dam of the Tamid on the Mizbeach, threw the blood on the northeast corner, and then placed blood on the western wall and then the southern wall, like a Chatas, making sure to do them both on the lower half and always turn to the right. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks why the Kohen applied the blood to the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach and then the southwest instead of the reverse order, and answers that it is said, Kol pina sha'taponet lo yihu ela derech yamin lo mizrach. All the turns that you make in the performing of the Avodah should only be to the right and to the east. Bereish Bahu Pag, and so it happens that the Kohen would encounter that corner, the northeast corner, first. Daf Tez Zayin. So the Simur Daf Tez Zayin is toes. So here goes. The Kohen, who is jumping up on his tippy toes, that must be more Daf Tez Zayin. The Kohen was jumping up on his tippy toes between the four chambers in the Ezer's Nashim, which reminds us, Rav Huna said the anonymous Tanu Tam Masechtas Midos is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, based on the following Mishnah Midos that details the Ezer's Nashim in the base of Migdash, and the four chambers that were located in the four corners. The southeastern chamber was the Lishkas HaNazirim, the northeastern chamber was the Lishkas Dira Eitz, and the northwestern chamber was the Lishkas HaMutzarayim. And regarding the southwestern chamber, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, Shachachti Mahaisa Meshameshas, I forgot what function it served. Avashul said they used it to place wine and oil and called it Lishkas Beis Shemanya. So Rashi explains that the Mishnah quoting Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the end of the Mishnah implies he was the anonymous Tana of the Mishnah. So the Kohen who was jumping up on his tippy toes between the four chambers in the Ezer's Nashim was trying to see over the low eastern wall and watch the Kohen burning the Paraduma aim a sprinkling toward the Heichal. Which reminds the Gemara brings another proof that the anonymous Tana of Masechta Midos is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, based on a Mishnah that states that all the walls that were there enclosing Har Abayis and its structures were very tall except for the eastern wall, so that the Kohen who burned the Paraduma could stand on Har Azazim, which is east of the Har Abayis, and aim and look towards the entrance of the Heichal at the time of sprinkling the blood of the Paraduma. The Gemara deduces from a serious Mishnah that this must reflect the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that the floor of the Heichal is 20 and a half amos higher than the Har Abayis. Given that all the temple gates were 20 amos high, it would have been impossible for the Kohen burning the Para to see the Heichal through the eastern gate. This is the reason the eastern wall needed to be lower, so that the Kohen could look over it and see the Heichal. According to the Chamim, who disagreed with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and held that the floor of the Heichal was 19 and a half amos higher than the Har Abayis, there was no need to lower the eastern wall. So the Kohen, who was jumping up on his tippy toes between the four chambers in the Ezer's Nashim, was trying to see over the low eastern wall and watch the Kohen burning the Paraduma aim a sprinkling toward the Heichal. That was not blocked by the Mizbeach. Which reminds us, Rav Adar bar Ava said that the anonymous Tana who states the eastern wall is lower is Rabbi Yehuda, based on a braisa where Rabbi Yehuda said that the Mizbeach stood precisely in the middle of the Azara. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mizbeach obstructed the view of the Heichal for one looking to the eastern gate of Har Abayis, and this is the reason the eastern wall needed to be lower than the others. But the Gemara rejects this based on the fact that the anonymous Tana and Midos teaches that the majority of the 62 amos comprising the ramp and the Mizbeach were in the southern half of the Azara. So we can conclude from here that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the anonymous Tana and not Rabbi Yehuda. Daf Yed Zayin. So the Simur Daf Yed Zayin is a used car. So here goes. After finally making a sale, the used car salesman, that must be Ron Daf Yed Zayin. After finally making a sale, the used car salesman drove to the very long Chamber of Lambs restaurant, which reminds us the Gemara Daf Tez Vav Amun Beis introduced a contradiction between a Mishnah and Tamim which stated that the Lishkas HaTlaim, the Chamber of Lambs, where lambs that had been inspected and blemish free were restored, was in the northwest corner of the base of Moked, and a Mishnah and Midos which stated that it was in the southwest corner. On this stuff, Rav Adabreda Rav Yitzhak said that that chamber extended towards both corners on the western side of the base of Moked, but did not quite reach each corner. To one coming from the north, the chamber appeared to be mainly in the south of the hall, and to one coming from the south, it appeared to be mainly in the north. So after finally making a sale, the used car salesman drove to the very long Chamber of Lambs restaurant and parked on the southwest corner across from the Lechem Apanim bakery, which reminds Ravada concludes that it's reasonable to say that the Lishkas HaTlaim was mainly in the southwestern segment based on how a contradiction was resolved between the two Mishnayos regarding the location of the Lishka where the Lechem Apanim was made, which was in the southeast corner of the base of Moked. Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua said that the Mishnah Midos enumerates the chambers in the direction of left to right, whereas the Tana of the Mishnah Tamid enumerates the chambers in the direction of right to left. This answer only makes sense if the Lishkas HaTlaim was mainly in the southwest. When the Gemara questions how Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua could suggest that the Mishnah Tamid goes from right to left, when we learn Kol Pina Shatapona Lo Yu'al Derech Yamin LaMizrach, that all the turns that you make should be to the right and to the east, and answers that this rule only applies with regard to Avodah, but here, it's merely an enumeration of the location of the chambers. So after finally making a sale, the used car salesman drove to the very long Chamber of Lambs restaurant and parked on the southwest corner across from the Lechem Apanim bakery, where a Kohen Gadol walked out carrying 5 loaves. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Shekohen Gadol makriv chelk barosh v'notel chelk barosh. The Kohen Gadol has the first right to offer any portion and to take any portion. So a braisa is brought here that states when it comes to taking loaves, he takes 1 loaf from the Shtei Lechem and 4 or 5 loaves from the Lechem Apanim. Revi says he always takes 5 loaves, for it's written, Maisel Aaron Levanav, and it, referring to the Lechem Apanim, shall be to Aaron and to his sons. This implies Mechsel Aaron, Mechsel Levanav, half to Aaron and half to his sons. So Abai understands that the first din is in accordance with the Rabban who maintain that the Kohen Gadol takes less than half. The reason they hold that he takes one of the two loaves of the Shtei Alechem is that the Rabban concede with regard to a broken bread that it's improper to give such a piece to the Kohen Gadol. Daf Yud Ches, so the Simur Yud Ches is a chuppah. So here goes. The wealthy, illiterate Kohen Gadol standing under the chuppah, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Ches. The wealthy, illiterate Kohen Gadol standing under the chuppah, which reminds the next Mishnah states, on the morning of every Yom Kippur, they stood the Kohen Gadol at the eastern gate of the Azorah, and they led before him oxen, rams, and sheep, so they should recognize them and be familiar with the Yom Kippur service. The grass, how is it possible the Kohen Gadol is not familiar with the Avodah? First time in the Braisa, the Pasuk states, Va'kohen ha-gadol me'echov, and the Kohen who is exalted above his brothers. She'eh gadol me'echov b'koach, b'noi, b'chachma, u'ba'osher. This teaches that the Kohen Gadol must be greater than his brothers in strength, beauty, wisdom, and wealth. Rav Yosef answered that the Mishnah is referring to the period of Baisheni, when the corrupt kings of the Chashmonai began to sell the office of Kohen Gadol to the highest bidder, even if he wasn't familiar with the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So, the wealthy, illiterate Kohen Gadol standing under the chuppah, who covered his eyes whenever he saw a goat, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brisa that states the goats were also brought before the Kohen Gadol on the morning of Erev Yom Kippur, and ask why our Tana did not mention them. When the Gemara answers that since they come to atone for a sin, the Kohen Gadol might become despondent, upon seeing them, the Gemara follows up and notes that a chattis bowl should also not be brought, since it comes to atone for sin. To this, the Gemara responds that since the chattis bowl comes to atone for the Kohen Gadol and for all the Kohanim, if there's anyone among the Kohanim who has something that must be corrected, the Kohen Gadol is aware of it, and he gets them to do teshuva. However, among all Israel from whom the goats come to atone, he can't know who committed a sin. Therefore, seeing them will make him despondent. So the wealthy, illiterate Kohen Gadol standing under the chuppah, who covered his eyes whenever he saw a goat, didn't realize his kal only married him for the money and was planning to get divorced as soon as he left town. Which reminds us, whenever Rav or Rav Nachman would visit a place, they would seek a woman who would be willing to marry them for the days they were there and then get divorced. When the Gemara asks how that's possible, given that there's a brisa that teaches that one should not marry women in different countries lest their children unknowingly come to marry one another, the Gemara answers, Rabban and Kala Esalu, the rabbis were famous, so the children would be well known as their offspring. When Rava asks how it was still possible, given that the women were required to observe 7 clean days before the wedding, the Gemara answers that the rabbis would send a messenger in advance so the woman could prepare. Another answer was that the rabbis would only go privately with them, but would not engage in marital relations. Because there's no comparison between one who's bread in his basket to one who has no bread in his basket. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which step do you know that a goat was not brought before the Kohen Gadol because he would become despondent since it's brought for the nation's sins? That's on Daf Yud Ches. Good. Number 2. Which of the one that Reb Yudah holds, the Mizbech was in the middle of the Azor, whereas Reb Elezer ben Yaakov holds it was primarily in the southern part? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number 3. Which of the one that Abai says the reason the Rabban hold the Kohen Gadol gets one loaf of the Shtei Alechem is that it's not respectful to give him only a piece? That's on Daf Yudzayin. Good. Number 4. Which of the one about the incident of the Tzeduk he went to the Kodesh Kodashim with smoke and was smitten by a malach on his way out? That's on Daf Yud Tes. Good. Number 5. Which daf did we learn the Rav and Rav Nachman would marry women in places they traveled to and then divorce them? That's on Daf Yud Ches. Good. Number 6. Which daf did we learn the burden of walking from the Lishkas Barhedrin in the north around the Azorah to the Mikvah in the south would it helpfully dissuade a Tzeduki from doing the Avodah? That's on Daf Yud Tes. Good. Number 7. Which something when the Ravada holds that the Lishkas Talaim was primarily in the southwest corner of the base of Moked? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 8. Which something when the Kohanim Gadolim during Bai Sheni bought their positions and they needed to be taught how to do the Avodah of Yom Kippurim? That's on Daf Yud Ches. Good. Number 9. Which something when the Rav Huna said Rav Elezer ben Yaakov is the anonymous Tana of Masechta Minos based on a mission that details the 4 Loshakos in the Ezra's Nashim? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do you learn from Vidibartabam that one's primary communication should be Torah? That's on Daf Yotes. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin-Zirch wishing you a great day and great learning.